You want me to start the show with a flow?
Just go on top of them.
Well, it's Michael Yo stepping in the building, making all the kids and children see the light. Then my name is Mike with Joe Coy on my left and sometimes on my right.
Right.
Grab the mic. Why you messed up my flow, dude?
I don't think I messed up your tool. I think you messed it up on your own.
Look, give me the beat again and don't say anything. Give me three words to rap. I just need three words.
Basketball. Watermelon. And shoes. Those should rhyme.
Basketball, watermelon, and shoes. All right. Here we go now. One. All right. Tonight, the big basketball game is on. And I'm gonna dunk like King Kong. Roar! And I like watermelon,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'll stop right there. I'll just... King Kong does not like watermelon. You have a name called Suave. That is your rapper's name.
In eighth grade.
Called DJ... Suave. Oh, no, MC Suave.
Yes.
And you were a notorious MC at your... you said gang-affiliated school.
Houston, Texas. Bloody Fifth. You know, the streets were bloody.
Bloody Fifth in eighth grade.
Yes.
A lot of blood on kids' hands at this school.
Oh, my God. Gangsta, man. Like, all my friends are still in prison. That's how
rough it
was.
And you were a rapper.
I was. Okay, here we go. Oh, now I'm feeling it, son. Oh, here we go.
Okay, see, this is what I want you to do. I want you to just try and rap. You know what I mean? Just try and rap.
I got to feel the beat.
You felt it. This is my fourth time playing it for
you.
So you know what the beat is. So,
no, but that's the beginning of the song. You got to wait till the beat drops in.
But you know what you need to say now. You've heard the beat four times in a row. In fact, this is a very famous song.
No, you know what it's called?
Award Tour.
Oh, yeah.
You were going to say World Tour.
No, I was going to say Award Tour with Muhammad, my man. Number, man. Okay.
Michael Yo, y'all, as MC Suave.
You know how I drop it, son. Yeah.
From Houston, Texas.
Just tell me when to go, Joe.
Yesterday. Hurry up.
Here I go, Joe. Oh, yes. I got the flow. Here I go, Joe. Oh, yes. I got the flow.
That's someone else's rap.
No, it's not.
You can't say, here he go.
I said, no.
What are you doing? That's another rap group. We're actually friends with this rap group.
I was about to kill. No, I just made. Those are original lyrics. There's no other lyrics that go, here we go, Joe.
Yeah, but you
Joe.
Told. That was
here
their
flow.
Here
we go, Joe. You're Joe. Here we go, Joe.
I want Suave. The guy you brag about that someone periscoped and said Suave.
You see that?
Give me that character.
Hey, guys.
That's all I'm asking.
Joe is just mad that,
no, I'm not.
That I am huge on periscope. Suave.
Just shut up and rap.
S-U-A-V-E. S-U-A-V-E. Suave, baby. Suave, baby.
Okay,
yeah, that's
stop.
Me.
No. You just did Teddy Riley's SWV.
No, I didn't.
SWV?
No. I said S. No.
Yes, you
I
did.
Swap.
Did he not do the same thing that Teddy Riley
goodness.
Did?
SWV. You're ridiculous. You're ridiculous, dude. You're trying
One
to stop.
One more time.
All right. I need to beat. Stop it. I need to beat.
Oh,
They're
my God.
Talking.
I can't. I can't do this anymore. This is why I stopped letting you rap.
You know what?
Because you can't rap.
If you don't do it anymore, the people won't listen. Because when I start rapping, people get listening.
Hold on. Let me give you a beat. Jeez.
When I start.
You can't even wait for the damn beat.
Can
now.
I
now. Yes, now.
When I start rapping, people start to listen. Then Joe Coy tries to start dissing. I don't listen, though, because I got the flow from Tokyo to the Michael Yo Joe Joe show. And that's the way it goes. A on your hat for asshole.
Oh! There it is. I'm more excited that's the first curse word you said on this show.
Hey, man, I can't help it that I flow like good.
That's a lyric no rapper has ever used. Good.
That's right, son. But I'm addicted to this Periscope thing, and I told Joe he needs to get on Periscope.
I'm on it.
No, but you never use it, dude. You need to use it.
Okay, I'll start using it now.
Seriously, man.
I'll start using it now.
So, can I talk about something real quick?
Yes.
Kim Kardashian wrote a letter to herself.
Okay.
For Glamour magazine, right?
She wrote a letter to herself.
To herself. and it's a video of it. And she talks to herself, writes a letter to herself 10 years from now.
Okay.
So Northwest will be 12 and all that. I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you could write a letter to yourself about yourself 10 years from now, what do you think it would say about yourself?
Now, are we being positive?
No, anything, anything. What would you say to yourself 10 years from now? Where do you think you'll be? And what advice would you have for yourself? Or what's one thing you would tell yourself 10 years from now? Because this is what's amazing about podcasts. Yeah. We'll be actually able to listen to this.
This is actually a letter.
This is so that's what I want to do. Write our own letter. Like, what would you want to tell yourself in 10 years? Or what would you want to say? I finally did it. I know I'm going to be here. Because believe it or not, if we blow up like superstars,
no,
they will go back and win. They will go back to this podcast and say, you remember when you said this 10 years ago?
Yes.
Look at what you did. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? What do you want to tell yourself right now?
I know that every goal that I've always wanted in my career, I've always accomplished. So where I'm at right now, I'm speaking to my future me,
yeah,
is exactly what I told you we'd be 10 years ago.
But that's so generic, man.
No, I really
what
believe.
What is it? But what do you want, Joe? World domination? Do you want your own TV show? Do you want like Josh Wolf?
TV like to have show. The TV show is a success. You're actually retiring from it. You're living life with your significant other and enjoying what you've worked so hard for the past 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you accomplished it. Now. Teach others and guide your son and take the right path.
Well, what I would say to myself 10 mm-hmm. years from now, I hope you're enjoying your 8-year-old boy or girl, son or daughter. You're married to Claire and having a great life. I have my own TV show, blew up in stand-up comedy because I did it the right way and the right people helped me out. And I get to choose whatever I want to do next, whether it's a movie, whether it's a sitcom I got, or whether it's whatever, it's like you.
Yes.
You make goals and get them. So if I'm talking to myself 10 years from now, you know, it's all about love and it's all about family now, because my kid is 8 and that's the only thing on my mind is how I'm going to provide for my kid.
I love it.
Yeah. Because that's you know what? You start thinking, it's weird, man. I went home and I've said this before. I went home one day, like 3-4 years ago. I looked at my parents and I was like, they're getting old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have that realization, like they're not going to be around forever. And now when you hear people dying at like 62 or 65 out of nowhere or 80, you're like, half my life is done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now it's time.
Now it's legacy.
Finish line is coming up.
Yes.
And you need to accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish in life before you cross that finish line. And here's the thing. That finish line moves up on its own.
Yes.
It's not in a specific spot.
No.
And that's the thing. That's the problem that my sister Rowena and my mom have. They really think that there's a finish line that's still far, far away.
Mm-mm.
And I keep telling my sister Rowena, you're not promised tomorrow. I know how corny as this sounds.
Yeah.
You're not promised tomorrow. So how do you choose to cross that finish line? Miserable and no one's friends with you? Or do you want to just bury the hatchet and be happy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how long are you going to hold this grudge with other family members, not talking to them? How many more Christmases and birthdays do you not want to come to because you have a beef that no one even... It's been so long ago, Mike.
Nobody even remembers.
We don't even know what the fucking beef is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, I asked my mom, I go, what is it? Like, where... You know what I mean? You're not young, Mom. So what do you want to do?
Yeah.
You want to just stay mad? Because I want to live.
And that's what it comes down to.
And I want to accomplish the goals in my life. Because, you know, Mike, what I used to do is I used to take my mom's problems and take my sister's problems, and it became a part of me.
Yeah.
I'm wasting all my energy trying to get them to get to where I'm at. And then it brought me down to where they're at.
No,
and I'm like, I'm done with this shit. And now they think I'm the bad person. My sister Rowena and my mom think that I'm the bad person. I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck with you guys anymore because it's so negative.
I don't want your drama.
I don't want your drama.
Because here's the thing, and you can say it's weird, you can think it's whatever, but negative energy is really a real thing. Like, if you walk into a room and the room is negative, if you're positive, you could change the whole dynamic
of the room. The whole dynamic of the room.
Like, just to prove it, how many times have you gone up after a bad comic?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, and then you crush it.
Yeah.
You change the whole dynamic of 500, 600 people just like that. By being so, I've seen it in clubs, and it's all about your positive energy. And people like, it's all about being funny. Yes, but it's all about the energy you give out. I've been in business meetings where it's a tough room, but you come in and you light them up, and you change the whole dynamic in that room.
Here's another example. Let's go the other way. You have five people in the audience, and there's always that one
asshole
guy. And he doesn't even have to heckle. He could just be a sore that people are looking at because he's not laughing, or he's or his body mannerisms.
He's too cool.
Well, not even cool, but just like it's just a negative fucking energy, and it will kill whatever's around him, and then it slowly goes towards the back. And I was just in Columbus, and I literally had someone sent home that was working for the club because he was that guy.
Really,
he was so negative, and I'm like, bro, you work at a comedy club. Like, it should be mandatory to have a fucking smile on your face.
But how was it? He was negative to customers? Or
His energy was so negative.
Bad.
He's supposed to be security. I don't know what that fucking means. You know what I mean? You want to be a real security guard? Go somewhere where they need fucking security, like a strip club or a nightclub where people are drunk and want to fight. They need a security guard.
Yeah.
Just because you're big and you're an asshole doesn't make you a security guard. At a comedy show.
Yeah.
That's kind of dumb, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you want to be big and bad and tough, go and do that somewhere where it calls for that fucking action. Mm-hmm. We don't need you here, bro. And I sent him, this is my second year sending him home.
Oh, it's the same guy.
Same fucking guy. He is a canker sore in everyone's mouth. And I don't know, you know, and I love the staff there. You know, the entire staff. If you ever play the Columbus Funny Bone, it is my favorite Funny Bone in the country. Dave Stroop, the shit.
Okay.
The guy that runs it. His family, the shit. His staff, the shit. One fucking guy. And I literally felt like he's that guy that makes the rest of the employees and staff negative. Because he's so negative that, you know how, like, sometimes when you hang out with someone that's pissed off, now you're pissed off?
Yeah.
But you don't know why, actually.
You're
just doing it because he is?
Yeah.
That's what this dude was doing. And for him to be the ticket ripper at the front of the door.
He's starting the whole energy.
The energy, like, they have to bypass him because they have to hand the ticket to him, and then he rips it and tells somebody that's seating them where they sit. And it's like his negative energy is so shitty that now the whole room's filled with shit.
So why do they keep him around?
I don't know. I asked that, and that's fine.
And you don't want to take anybody's job.
Dave said that he's you know other than this, he's a great guy, and I'm like, yeah, he probably is. But for my show, not my show.
So let me ask you this:
I'm a happy guy.
Did you experience your first show and it was bad? Like the energy was off, and that's
why before, you know what I mean? He was. I don't know what it was, man. Like he was taking pictures at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And I thought we were cool. And then all of a sudden he turned into like fucking asshole man. You know what I mean? Like he had this shit look on his face.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and he's like, he's standing by me while I'm doing the merch. And, you know, I take pictures with
these.
They have their phone. And everyone's like, can you take this picture for me? And he already told me that I'll do the pictures for
him.
Don't offer something that you don't really want to
do. Yeah.
And so everyone was handing the camera. And every time they go, can you take this picture? He goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And grab the camera. And he's like, there you go.
Yeah.
And just negative. And then even the fans were like, what the fuck? And what pissed me off is you're a reflection of me.
Yeah.
They think you work for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know you, asshole. I didn't know you didn't want to take pictures. You offered it to me. You wanted to do it. So I sent him off that time. And then we got into this big fight because I was talking to him and the way he was answering me. I'm like, hey, motherfucker, I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
I sold this bitch out. I sold all the shows out. You work for me this weekend. If you don't want to be here, get the fuck on.
Uh-huh.
Go home. And I told Dave, I was like, send him home. And I sent him home. And the minute he was gone, beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally like the clouds separated and the sun came. You know what I mean? And everyone was basking in the sun. He was that negative, man.
Oh,
his energy was so shitty.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you. And I did it again this weekend. So it's so funny that you said that. I sent him home again on Thursday. I even told Ryan, the guy I go with, I go, I wonder if he's there. And I tried to break the ice because we had the fallout last year. And I saw him at the door and I went to shake his hand. You know when you shake his hand and you go in for the half hug? Well, I went in for the half hug and I was like, yo, I was going to say, yo, we cool? Like that, because I had the big smile and everything.
Yeah.
And he put his hand on my chest. He goes, no, fuck that, man.
Oh, did?
Yeah, he goes, oh, fuck that, man. I'm just here to do my job and get the fuck home. And I was like, you can go the fuck home now.
Yeah.
And I said that in front of everybody. You can go the fuck home now, bro. You don't have to be here. Are you sure you want to do this? Go the fuck home. I'm going to tell Dave to send your ass home now. Like, we don't need this. You're ripping tickets in front of people. Go the fuck home now. We don't need you.
Yeah.
No one needs you. No one needs you. You need to find a miserable job where you can be miserable. Go find a place that hires miserable people. Don't go to the fucking Funny Bone and be that guy. Go the fuck on. You want to be a security guard? Really show us how to be a security guard, man. Yeah. Go where they need you, brah. A bank. You know what I mean? A bank where you need to fucking flex and be tough. You're at the Funny Bone, bro. We're laughing, man.
Yeah.
People walking in are already laughing, man.
He reminds me of people that work at counters.
Ugly. He's ugly, too. Ugly person, man.
Physically, you don't need to go there. You don't
physically
need,
and mentally
you
ugly.
Don't need to go there.
No, he is.
But he just it reminds me that out. Of when you go to like a department store and then you ask them for help and they're like, ugh. It's like, you're working here. This is hey, you know what? I didn't force you to get this job.
Yeah, exactly.
This is your choice.
Yes.
You don't give me a problem because you won't help me out. Go get a shirt.
So true. They're so angry. And my whole thing is when you filled out the application, throw yourself back to that day.
Mm-hmm.
How desperate you were and how badly you needed a job and how you begged that manager and told that manager and sold yourself, I can do this. I need this. I blah, blah, blah. And you really did need it. And then you get hired and now you're a miserable fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You needed that job. That employer did not come to your house begging you to work for them. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
That's the only time you should be ever miserable. If someone came to you and promised you the world, and then you're like, okay, yeah, you sold me. Let me do it. And then you find out that it's shitty, but you signed a 3-year deal on it. Now you can be miserable because it's not your fault.
But I imagine you're like me. Even when I worked for Taco Bell, I was so happy to work at Taco Bell. I was drive through. I was the Bobby Brown, my prerogative headphone on. Yep. I'm like, what's up? Yep. Taco Bell, can I take your order?
Dude. Yeah. I was happy at every job. When I got my job at Foot Locker, I was so happy because all I could think about was my 30% discount.
That's right.
And then every now and then, the manager would give me 40% off. I was like, dude, I got the best job in the world.
Yeah.
And that's all I thought. And I knew I wasn't going to be there long, but I wasn't miserable about it. And when I started getting sick of that job, I started looking for another job.
Yeah.
It's that easy, you guys.
You shouldn't take it out on the people that come to your job. You should just switch jobs and find something you like to do.
Get the fuck on. Who are those people? Anyways, speaking of people that get fired from their jobs that shouldn't be hired, the big story. Well, this past weekend that I was watching was the pool party that broken up by the police officer.
Yes,
that drew his gun.
That was 2.5 weeks ago, but that's fine, Joe.
Well, no, it's big now. It was all over.
No. It was big 2.5 weeks ago when we talked about it on the show.
Listen, he had to come out and say why he left and all that shit. I want to ask you.
Yes.
Because Bill Maher did make it. And this is actually an ongoing joke that every cop gets. You know, they're usually ex-athletes, ex-high school athletes.
Yeah.
And Bill Maher said this. I'm just repeating what he said. But this is what everyone always says about cops. And I respect cops. I have two in my family. You know what I'm saying? And it is a horrible, shitty job. I mean, we all go to the cops when we need them. But it's horrible. I feel for the cops. You know what I mean? Like, no one really puts... You need to put on that uniform and see the shit that they go through.
Well, can I cut
you
off?
No one knows what they go. And imagine having a target on your back. The minute you leave your house, you are the target of someone wants to kill you. Imagine that kind of stress and heat on your back.
To even take it to the next level, imagine you're the target and you're walking up to cars and you have no idea who that person is or what's their intention.
Yep.
You're walking up to cars like, I get scared at night when people walk the crosswalk in front of me.
Yep.
But you're walking up to strangers' cars and hoping they're not trying to kill you.
Yes.
Just to enforce. Imagine how scary that is.
Yes.
Imagine how scary and like what goes through your body and how your blood is just pumping. You're going up to random people's cars that's breaking the law.
Yes.
Knocking on their window, Mike, saying, roll down your window, Mike, and don't kill me.
Let me interrupt you and say, not only not breaking the law, that first of all, my uncle always said the two things that he hated the most was domestic violence at home, like going to a domestic dispute at the house. He fucking hated those calls. And then pulling over cars. Any car, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Any car. Not just breaking the law. Just pulling one over because. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every situation, pulling the car, you don't know who's in the backseat. You don't know what's on their lap. You know what I mean? I mean, you watch those dashboard cameras caught on tapes. I mean, just a routine traffic stop, and the guy gets shot in the chest.
Yeah.
And it's like, by a woman.
You,
by a woman.
You don't know if they got warrants, if they're running from the
police. You don't know anybody. And that's what sucks about these cops. I'm not taking the side of this guy. I'm not taking this guy's side, but I'm just saying, like,
but that cop was totally wrong.
He was wrong. But I don't even know how to say it.
The difference with, I know what you're saying, but the difference with this cop, he escalated things by yelling at people and throwing them down.
Yes.
He escalated the problem instead of this two partners that were like, yo, you need to put your gun up.
Yeah.
You notice when he pulled out the gun, the other two cops ran in and be like, hey.
Yeah.
They had the calmer heads.
Yes.
So he, I understand, hey, all these kids are running around. You don't know they could have a gun. Two kids run up to him. He pulls out a gun. They run away. I understand all that. But if he didn't go in there throwing people around, it would have never escalated that point. Because if you know, if you watched
Before he came there?
If you notice, if you watch the video, and I'm not going to make this a black or white thing, and we got to talk about that girl, Rachel, that the black woman that was really white. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, that's hysterical, by the way. I love her.
But if you notice this long video, 7 to 8 minutes, across the street at the same party, white people, they didn't get touched. They were just across, like literally across the street watching it with black kids. But the only people that were getting roughed up were the black ones. Why weren't they? They were at the same party.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? That cop, I'm not saying he was racist. I'm saying he escalated a problem. It's like our Mayweather Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
I kept.
That wasn't a fight. Mayweather Pacquiao dance.
The dance.
Yeah.
But when we fought, you got mad because I kept poking you. I kept escalating it.
Yeah.
You know? And now we're positive pod. Hashtag positive pod.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah. So the guy should step down.
Well, he already did.
I'm just saying that's what should happen. The guy should step down, which he did. Better screening.
Yep.
Better psych. My whole thing is.
But you heard the story why he had a bad day.
Why?
Earlier.
His black wife didn't cook him breakfast.
No, earlier he saw a suicide.
Uh-huh.
And then the next thing, it was a domestic violence. And then that was his third call. So he was already over the edge.
Yeah.
And he even admitted he was wrong. But after watching a suicide, after going to a domestic violence house where there was domestic violence involved, now he's showing up to this. He was probably like, man, this is a crappy day. I got to take it out on somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a bad judgment. And like, I fault him because it's his fault.
Yeah.
But cops have the most dangerous job in the world.
Yeah.
And that's why I learned as a kid.
Yeah.
Because my dad always taught me, no matter what you say, Joe, you're black.
Yeah.
Because, and you know what's interesting? And he says, if you're not black, ask a white person, are you white? And then you'll know. Because my whole argument was today at work, because we were talking about Rachel. Let's get to her in a second. But Obama is half white and half black.
Yeah.
But he's the first black president. But he's not fully black.
No.
And then she says, well, ask any white person, is he white?
Yeah.
I was like, well, okay. Because no white person would say he's white.
No.
Even though he is half. So that's how you America does. So I never thought about it like that. I was like, he's just as much as white as he is black because I'm just as much black as I am Asian.
Yeah.
That's how I look at
it.
You know, but when she said, ask a white person then, is he white? And I was like, damn.
I didn't think of that.
Okay. All right.
By the way, the cop that got, you know, that stepped down. There's a job opening at the Columbus Funny Bone. You can be a security guard there.
Yeah. Tearing tickets?
Yeah, you can tear tickets and be a miserable fuck. A miserable fuck ripping tickets at a comedy club.
Okay, look, so what we're going to do, how long have we been going, Sweaty Ernie? Okay, we're done with this podcast.
We're done?
We're done. 25 minutes.
Well, you have to sum it up.
Well, that's what I'm about to get to.
Get to it, man.
I'm getting into this. Look, you choose your path in life.
Yes.
Don't take your path down a road you don't want it to go.
Yes.
You know, if you add a job, you put yourself in that job.
Yes.
Be happy about it till you find the thing you really want to do. Don't take it out on us.
Yeah.
Don't take it out on the customer.
Nope.
It's your bad. You're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You made your path.
Yeah.
Sweaty Ernie and Drunk Brady, they're getting paid to sit there and do nothing and watch us.
Yes.
That's a fucking great life.
And here's the thing. We need him.
Yes. And
we need both of them.
We need. And what are they doing right now? Yes. Describe what they're doing right now.
They're sitting and getting sweaty.
That's right. Doing
That's
nothing.
Nothing.
But guess what? They're going to get a paycheck after this.
Yes, they are.
And guess what? They're going to go to somebody else's house and do the same
goddamn thing.
And get another paycheck.
And sweat at someone else's house.
That's right. Just Ernie's sweat trail is all over Los
exactly.
Angeles.
Exactly.
And you can smell him.
Mm-hmm.
You know that house party? Oh, yes. follow the drip.
Yep.
All you got to do is follow sweat.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's our story today.
Yeah.
And our next podcast, we are going to talk about this Rachel Dolezal story.
Yes.
You know about it.
Let's do it.
The black woman, the white woman that acted like she was black and became the president of a chapter.
I love it.
Of the NAACP.
I love it.
We're going to talk about that next. But Joe, tell everybody where you are.
Ontario, California. I'll be at the Inland Empire Improv, baby. Come see me. I'm doing 10 shows.
And I'll be there this Friday. I'm going to pop by for two of them, and I promise.
And, you better. And not only that, I'm going to, my restaurant. So I'm going to go back and forth to Vegas for the next 2 weeks. I might fly Michael Yo out there.
Yeah, we need to do a podcast out there.
We should do it in the next 2 weeks. I'll fly Ernie and
Sweaty
and
Ernie.
Brady.
They can sit and watch us and get paid again.
Let's do it. So come to my restaurant. I'm in, if you're in the Vegas area, 9440 West Sahara.
Well, tell them what the name is, dude.
It's called Yoji.
Oh,
Y-O-J-I-E.
Yeah. Yeah. Shabu, I wonder where you got the yo part from.
Yep. It's
you're capitalizing on my name again.
You goddamn right. I am.
All right. I'm going to be at the Strex Factory next Thursday, the 25th through the 27th in New Jersey.
Word.
I'll see our next podcast. Make sure you listen. We're talking about white people that want to be black.
Peace.
We know a lot of them. Later.
Yep.